for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something, and whether we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I am Miss Shannon, and normally you would also hear the melodious voice of my podcast life mate, Jayton Satia, but unfortunately he is under the weather today, so we wish best of luck and speedy healing to my good friend Jayton. He'll be back very soon. But with me, we do have this. We have a good friend of mine and a guest geek that I was very excited to be able to get on to the show right now. So she is a business owner. She is well versed in all of the things in your bedroom. It is her business because she is Colleen Bertino. So Colleen, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you being on the show. How is your quarantine going?
Well, it honestly hasn't been all that much different than my regular life.
Ah, were you a little bit of an introvert anyway?
I can be.
Okay.
I can be. I mean, you know, it's lovely to do this, but this is, I'm saying, this is my second Zoom in 8 months because I'm in retail.
Yes.
I have to go to the office.
Okay.
I have to bring stuff to stores. I do deliveries now.
Oh, okay.
We built a website in a week and a half because my website was a partner site that was in Colorado.
Ah, okay.
So it shut down. So I'm shut down. I cannot do online because I don't have any online.
Ah, so let's back up because I want to make sure that we talk about that. So I want to back up and give some information on that. And that's one of the things that we do get to geek out about is the fact that you are a retail business owner. But just to give people a little more background about your business, because you are the owner and CEO of Fantasy Gifts. And so Fantasy Gifts, I always think is fascinating because if you aren't in the Twin Cities, you are one of our most prolific adult boudoir type stores here in the Twin Cities. So how many locations do you have again?
We have eight.
Eight. Okay.
We've had upwards to 12.
Really? But, okay. Yes. All right. And
but we're down to eight, you know, because when we had 12, we did not have this thing called the internet.
Ah, okay. All right. So you did have more reasons to actually go to a retail location of those type of things. And that is what I think is interesting, because you and I have known each other for a while. I actually was like your account executive for a while when I was still doing radio sales. And people would go, well, what is it like to have a company like Fantasy Gifts as your account? And what's Colleen like? And people ask me about you all the time when I say I'm friends with the owner of Fantasy Gifts. And I'm like, really? She is the least porny person of anybody. Because I think that they have this unrealistic expectation of what being involved in the adult industry is. And I mean, not the adult film industry, but a retail perspective.
Like I'm supposed to wear the thigh-high boots.
All the time.
I don't know. I can't walk in those. They hurt my ankles.
And you had your moments.
I'm jealous of folks that can do that. I can't, but it's the same thing. There's only a few folks out there that sort of live, you know, their work.
Right.
You know, but when I go to shows, it's folks like me.
Right.
You know, we're wearing cardigans.
Cardigans. And I think it was interesting because I'd go, well, what does she do in her spare time? I'm like, I think she goes to Minnesota Twins games because I've given her tickets. So I think that's fascinating we would also talk about, and I'm not saying you don't have a great voice. You do have a great voice, but you have what I think is a very standard voice. And people would presume that you were going to sound like Sex Kitten constantly 24 hours a day. Because you happen to own this business.
Getting the engineers to not put porn music behind the commercials when I would do them.
Right.
It was like, come on, people, look at me. And it was also fun. It was also fun doing that because, you know, they would be terrified that an owner was coming in.
Yes.
To do a commercial.
Right.
And I'd nail it the first or second time and then leave.
Right.
And they'd like.
Right. I'm like, she is my easiest, like least, the clients that I was going to have, you were going to be the least amount of work. And they're like, oh, well, did you read the copy before she came in? Like you were going to come in and not know and talk about all this stuff that we can't play on radio because of what your industry is. And so I appreciated being able to help normalize some of these conversations. And you did a lot of, you did a lot of that on your podcast that you had for quite some time.
I like doing that, but there's just so many podcasts now and I'm just like, you know, and honestly, just keeping everything functioning this past 8 months has taken so much extra work.
Right.
But you know, it's just, and like I said, it just, I'm tired like everybody else. So just, you know, extra stuff just not going on. But it's fun to do this.
See, you can just dip into my podcast because since this is what, this is my version of what you're saying that you do all the time. Like, my job is just to show up places and talk. So this didn't take me any extra effort. Like, this is me breathing is I'm like going, hey, Colleen, come pee on our podcast. And I do think it's always interesting. And we're going to get to some other things that you geek out about other than being a retail business owner. But when you are trying to, in this new world that we live into, and I've actually been into one of your locations since you have reopened. And I cannot remember the lovely woman's name who was working there at the time, but she was very knowledgeable. She helped me out very often. You know, she was very lovely to talk to. I'm like, I have questions, and she just answered my questions. So, but dealing with trying to figure out how you can have a safe shopping retail environment as a business owner has got to be a continual challenge. Like, how are you keeping that and keeping your staff safe and healthy and doing all of those things?
Well, one of the things that helped us out immediately is that social distancing is natural at Fantasy Guests.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
People do not crowd next to each other shopping for a personal toy.
That would make sense.
Which is the word I chose to put on radio because you can't say vibrator and dildo.
Right.
So we came up with personal toy.
Right.
But you just don't shop next to each other. And I just, and unless it's a few days before Christmas or a few days before Valentine's, I don't have, I mean, I can have upwards to 25, 30 people in my stores at a time.
Right.
That would be spectacular if that would happen. It doesn't happen.
Right.
So
fair
I
enough.
I have natural social distancing. That was useful.
And I, when I was in there, it was me and like one other couple had like, they were, I was walking in and they were coming out. So I get that. That makes sense. But
And I don't have a lot of, I don't have 14 employees on at a time.
Right.
So when that, so when shift change and things are happening, it's easy to keep people apart. I bought the counter shields. I got face shields, but we didn't end up having to do that.
Right.
Use those. I got everyone masked. I scrubbed, I mean, every corner of the internet to find all the hand sanitizer.
Right.
Gloves. I mean, I ended up with food prep gloves because you couldn't get vinyl gloves anymore.
Right.
Air purifiers, you know, the UV light ones around the counter areas.
Yes.
Called my HVAC company to make sure that everything was good. He goes, you have good air circulation. I mean, I always keep air. I think I like air moving. I like noise. Right. I like, you know. So, I mean, just, this is all the stuff I'm thinking about after my freak out for like a week and a half.
Yeah. Understandable.
Like, eventually I'm going to be able to open. What am I going to have to do this?
Right. Right.
And so we've been doing that and it just, and it's paying off because yes, I've had some employees get COVID, but not at work.
Okay. All right.
You know, and it's going through there because I mean, everyone's, I mean, there's so much out there.
Right. It's difficult.
Yeah, you, going
you know?
Through there.
And
but
even
that's
if you try.
What we've been doing there. And then I built this website.
Yes.
I'm very excited about it because I have a friend who's good at it and I needed a local website and we built it in a week and a half. And we're adding stuff on so we could be ready for curbside.
Right.
And people are still using it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So myfantasygifts.com, we'll make sure that's included on all of our socials as well. Mm-hmm. But I did notice that from looking at your website that there, you know, it's as functional as if you, like the I think the people who got up to speed most quickly with this curbside were grocery stores. And so the way that you do your retail is as easy as if I'm going to my local grocery store where there's like, there's somebody that will do the shopping for you if you want that and you can do it, or you can have it delivered or you can have it, you know, you can have it shipped or, you know, I thought that that was very ingenious that you were able to pivot so quickly. And I think that you're, a lot of businesses were forced to do that as well. So congratulations on being able to do that, Colleen.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend, Beth Allison-Berger, is the one that helped me build this site. And then I had my Sarah, who's my internet person, and Tara, who's my hard goods buyer. And Liz, they just, I mean, we sort of drove into the office and worked for a couple hours. And my office is big enough that we're all separate. And it just, we did what we could. So I'm like, okay, how long is this going to be? What's going on?
Right.
We, you know, my business didn't qualify for some loans. And so,
really?
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of discrimination there and stuff like that. I mean, the same thing with tobacco places, sometimes liquor places, there's strip clubs. I mean, if you're legal, you should be able to qualify for any, you know, loan there is.
Right.
And so it was, you know, I was on the phone to the governor's office and my local rep's office and the Congress office. I mean, what else am I supposed to do?
Right.
I'm sitting home.
Right.
But, so we got through it. And my, you know, I kept my mom at home, who just turned 80 on this past Friday.
Right.
I kept my mom at home for months, but she's just, she's going stir crazy.
Yes.
So she comes into the office and I split up everyone's offices. That's another thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
Some people shared office and I got rid of conference room. I moved people. I mean, no one shares an office anymore.
Right.
And stuff like that. Whatever I could,
right?
You know, because I want to keep people employed.
Right. So. Understandable. And it does seem that that's what so many people are trying to do is go, okay, we don't know how long this particular race is going to be. Mm-hmm. So it's how can we lean into wherever we are right now? How can we be safe, but then keep everybody working? And it's got to be an interesting balancing act. To go,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
every time my phone, I hear the text noise, I look at, I'm thinking, what shift can't be covered? I mean, back in April, I made signs like at the Burnsville store.
Right.
It says, I'm sorry, because of COVID, we're unable to cover the shift. Here are the two closest stores.
Right.
I didn't actually have to use those until 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Until everything started exploding.
Right.
Courtesy, in my opinion, of Iowa, the Dakotas, and Wisconsin, because they all had their heads up.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, and we don't get into a lot of like the minutia, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to agree with you. I do feel like us as Minnesota, we are now, we're the responsible older brother that is now being penalized because the rest of the kids were just wild. And so that's the way I do. I agree with you. As far as the Midwest goes, I feel like, well, we did our best and the rest of them are just all wild and loose.
Yeah. But you can't.
You can't control your younger siblings. They just lost their shit. And now we're sitting here. Now we can't leave the house again.
Oh, where I used to just, okay, shift's not covered. What's going on? I'm like, put up the sign. That's that's what I text.
Yeah.
Put up the sign.
Yeah.
And customers have been very, I mean, they understand, and in the middle of all this, I also lost my credit card processor.
Oh,
a bank bought a bank.
Right.
This happens before, and I had 18 days to find a new credit card processor. Most people won't take me once again because of my business.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had 18 days to find it, and I couldn't transfer over my gift cards.
Okay.
Okay. So now when someone comes in to do a gift card, I was able to get a list, but now what someone has to do is, they email me their number and then I send them a store credit.
Okay.
And it's happened about a half dozen times and everyone's like, well, that sucks. Here it is. I mean, everyone's been cool about it. So it also helps to have really most awesome customers.
Yeah. You would hope so.
Almost all awesome. We do have a few people that still bitch about masks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
One person came in not wearing a mask and they asked him to wear a mask and they actually lifted their shirt and showed their weapon.
Wow. That is... Terrible that you have to deal with that.
And the person behind the counter was like, you really need a mask. I mean, just ignored that.
Yes.
You know, just went with it. And they went back out, got masks and came in. I mean, if you have them.
Why are you giving me a hard time? I'm just doing I'm just trying to do my job. You know, I've never understood that.
And then another gal came in wearing a fishnet mask.
Well, she's like, technically. I'm like, okay, fine. Right. Yes. You're very clever. You're very clever. Can we just get through this pandemic together?
There's been a few that, I mean, more than I would like there to be, but not as much as there could be. And I was so glad when there was finally a statewide mandate.
Right.
Is what, you know, I made big signs and I put Mr. Vibrator on. Well, actually Sarah made him. She crawls into my brain.
Yes.
I spew stuff at her and then she makes really good graphics.
Okay.
That's just how
perfect.
It works. But I tried to do humor because I can use anything to sell ideas about my products or my product except sex. I always use humor.
Right.
You know, that make, you know.
Well, even your tagline, you know, because remind me what your tagline is. I don't want to misquote it.
Fantasy gifts, because what you do in your bedroom is our business.
I love it. I love it. And I love normalizing it because especially like, and part of the reason why I always enjoyed like introducing to people is because I like introducing it so that there isn't that giant dichotomy of either you have to be 50 Shades of Grey or you have to be so prudish that you are Little House on the Prairie. And it's like, or you could just be in the middle. You know?
People do this, they have sex, and sometimes they use props.
Exactly.
Because it's fun.
Right. So why do we have to be so counterculture if we're on one end or the other? And I think that's fun to have you as my friend that goes, nope, we talked about our kids and the twins. You know?
I mean, because if mm-hmm. people weren't a little freaked out about a butt plug mm-hmm. or a rabbit vibrator, mm-hmm. they would have a wall of them at Walmart and Target, and I wouldn't have a score.
Very true.
Now, a lot of the stuff you can buy online. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is about buying online is that there's a lot of fake product out there. Just like
is there? Okay.
Kate Spade and Gucci and all yep. this other stuff and expensive tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fake sex toys out there.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons I've never even bothered. Well, one, it's a pain in the ass, but yeah. I don't put anything on Amazon because let's say I have 12 of this item.
Yes.
I'm holding, you know, I send it to the Amazon warehouse. They dump it in a bin oh. with 14 or 15 other companies that are selling the same item.
Ah.
So when you buy something from me and they ship it from the warehouse, you don't know what they're grabbing.
Gotcha.
And it can be fake.
Okay.
And that can be for anything that, you know, it's going through there. That's how that works.
Yes. I didn't know that. That's good to know.
I sign agreements with a lot of folks saying I won't sell on Amazon.
Okay.
You know, with products. So you know that if it's in my store, it's a genuine product.
Right. I think it's also interesting the variety of things that you have. And so, like, if you dabble, then you can go, here's a spot where you can go, and somebody can go, well, here's how you can take the next step into your dabbling.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, because we used to sell a whole bunch of really high-end leather stuff.
Yes.
But because of the internet, people want what they want. And I yes. get that. And it's mm-hmm. really expensive. I can't possibly stock a store. Like
right.
there's a store in town now that does it called Bondesk.
Yes. I've never been in there, but I've been past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They focus on one thing, but I can't do that in any stores.
Mm-hmm.
But I can certainly get people started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's great because there's always, I mean, no one's born knowing the stuff, wanting to do the stuff, understanding the stuff.
Fair enough.
Always new people coming up and wanting things. I'm fine being the place where you start out.
Right.
You know, and then you can move into whatever is your thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't stock all the shoes in the world.
There's right.
too many of them
yes.
and I have too many places, but I can have your basic, you know, funky heels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Stuff like that. And I'm not going to do bra sets because I mean, you would need an entire store for that.
Mm-hmm. But you can sit there and go.
Some fun stuff and novelty stuff because you know it's going to be on for 5 minutes.
Very true.
If it's doing its job.
Right.
Or if it, depending on where the cutouts are, you can leave it on longer. But,
right.
You know.
Yeah. But you don't need it every day. You know, kind of thing. It's not like it has to be that this is the thing I go to day after day. It doesn't have to be, you know, the utilitarian version of like Shuler's shoes where you're on your feet all day and this stuff. You're fine.
No, yeah. I just bits and it's fun. I mean, you know, and then even categories change over the years. So
okay.
you always have to be available to move. I mean, mm-hmm. the one of the largest sections we have right now is anal toys.
Really? Okay.
I mean, it used to be like this like 4-foot section. Now it's like a 12-foot section. If I can keep stuff in stock now, because manufacturers are, I mean, they're working smaller shifts. They
right.
have COVID issues. I'm getting about 60% of the stuff we order.
Okay.
We put in these orders and something that used to take a week is now taking a month.
Okay.
So right. we're, you know, but I have the best freaking staff ever. I
yes.
mean, they're busting their butts
mm-hmm.
to get stuff in and okay, we can't get this. Try this. I mean,
right.
a company called, you probably heard this, Fleshlights.
Yes.
I've gotten one order from them since we reopened in June.
Wow.
And they sell in about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any more. We have two orders in. No idea. Absolutely no idea when they will show up again.
I'm very interested with mm-hmm. the ebbs and flows of the retail industry in general, but specifically mm-hmm. yours, that I think would be affected by the fact that people are captive in their homes. And so I wonder, have you seen an uptick? And you're saying that you can't keep certain products. So I know that some of it is the supply is slowing down, but do you think that the demand is higher because of the activity?
It is a little bit higher. I have about the same amount of traffic in the store, but
okay.
I have a lot more web business from this local one because people can shop online. And if
okay.
they can see it online, that's what they're buying. So
right.
Tara's constantly going, okay, now what do we have in? What do we have a lot
yeah.
of? Let's get it on there. But what I'm noticing is that when it used to be, people are adding that one or two extra item onto a sale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, being shut down for 7 weeks put us in a huge, huge fucking hole.
Okay.
Which we will not climb out of.
Right.
But we will not be, I'm not in the restaurant industry. I have, I'm trying to eat out as much as I can and do
yeah.
different things for them because it's going through there.
Right.
But that's what I've noticed is that people will come, I mean, if they're going to go into the store, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, okay, I want this, this, and instead of going, do I want this flavor or this flavor? They're right. there, they buy both.
Right.
Do I want this tie or this toy or this toy? Let's get both.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because it, because they're not going to want to come back. Then, you know, they're, I mean, I'm doing the same thing with Target.
Right.
I haven't set foot in a Target except to return something, mm-hmm. but I'm like, well, I normally get 2 cat litters at a time. I'll get 4.
Right. Right.
And they're doing the same because the same mindset is there.
Right.
You know, and it's going through there. And I haven't, the one thing that we, people wanted immediately, the very first sale we had on the new website were the supplements, the okay. male pill supplements. People, mm-hmm. when we were shut down for 7 weeks and folks couldn't get those, mm-hmm. they were not happy.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
I was, because I would do rounds with my daughter because she's old enough now. You know, she's mm-hmm. 19, just turned 20, but 19 at the time. And so I would go to stores because I need, I mean, when we had the stay-at-home order, it was legal for me to go and check my properties.
All right.
I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't, and if they, if folks saw a car parked outside, they would be yanking on the door and they're like, can you buy? And I'm like, I'm not going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I get treated differently.
Yes.
So if I sold something, it would be different than, I mean, than a local florist, or they could be open, but you know, anyone that could be open.
Right.
I get yelled at faster than almost anyone because someone's cranky at me. You know, there's still people that don't like me.
That's so unfortunate, but so I can understand.
My sidewalks are generally cleaner than almost anyone's.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm held to a different standard,
right.
but in honestly, I mean, sidewalks should be clean and I would keep them clean anyway. But sometimes, you know, I had an employee that had an appendicitis. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get out there to like 8 hours after a snowstorm to clear something and someone bitched.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I am sorry that you are still held to this Puritan standard, you know, when you're just a friend out there trying to do your business, you know, and yeah, make sure that everybody is enjoying themselves. You know, that's just fascinating.
It really is a spectacular way to pay my mortgage. I mean, I make people happy.
Right.
Me personally, sometimes people, you know, once again, speaking of the stereotypes, but you know, I make one guy happy.
Right.
But you know, mm-hmm. but I mean, like, why you have to call a tree company because you're, you know, a tree just fell in your garage. Are you a happy person?
Right.
No, I mean, they do a lovely service. They do something that needs to be done, but you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming to Fantasy Gifts and they are happy.
Right. And if everything and works out, they will be happy repeatedly. If
I mean, I look at the portrait of my dad because he started this 40 years ago now, you know, passed away 12 years ago. And I look at him and go, not only did he have a recession-proof business, it seems to me that we have a pandemic-proof business.
God. Congratulations.
You know, I'm like, oh, my dad, I mean, I can't imagine what he would have thought of this. He honestly, if he wasn't on oxygen and all this sort of stuff, he'd be doing the deliveries with me.
Wow.
Because you do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally am driving stuff within about 30 minutes. I mean, there's a limit. I'm not going to drive something to St. Cloud or Duluth,
right.
but you
mm-hmm.
know, but post office is getting more business.
Yeah.
Because I mail everything through them, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that.
It's just a fascinating, just trying to keep track of the completion of orders just in general, regardless of what you're completing, has got to be insane these days. And that, you know, your story has to be so repeated over and over and over again by everybody who works in retail. It's like we had to pivot remarkably fast mm-hmm. and to be innovative and to get up to speed, because otherwise, who's going to be still available when we do get to open back up, when things get back to whatever we think is close to normalcy? And I think that there's a lot of things that now that they've pivoted this way, they're not going to go back. Like, I could see that now that you have this website, I could see why people would stay going, nah, I want to order it, and then just, you know, show up and get it in a bag, you know, and not have to wander through the store, you know, because I think lots of people don't like doing retail shopping regardless of what they're buying.
Yeah, I mean, because before it was like, people like, okay, if we order off the site, can we have it shipped to the store, this or that? Mm-hmm. And what would happen is that they would do that, and then half the times people didn't pick it up. Oh, I thought I turned this off. I'm sorry. There
it's
we go.
Okay.
There we go. And
so they would order and then not come get it?
Yeah, or there would be shipped or this or that stuff going through there. And I'm like, I didn't want to be responsible for the stuff. But
right.
now, because of what's going on, people are like, okay, I've done all these orders and here's my pickup route.
Yes. Okay, so that makes sense.
And so it's working out. Or you know, like I gave up on a local site because it was such a pain in the ass to maintain, but that was about 4 years ago. And now I'm doing it through Square or something. I forget.
Yeah.
And it was so simple. Had this existed 4 years ago, I probably wouldn't have gone with the partner site, but the partner site is pretty awesome too, because it has tens of thousands of items. It's shipped out of a warehouse in Colorado and a distributor. So I'm like, I'm just keeping them both. You know, so folks can get what they want. Because something might come in 12 flavors, but I only carry three. You know, or a whole bunch of sizes and I only carry two. It's almost so much space. I mean, you can't go to Target and find everything in stock anymore, even before the pandemic.
And now, but it seems like different now that people are like, because we know we have the internet exists, they're like, well, I should be able to get everything at any time from every place because the internet is in my hand. So
I did get lucky. A customer placed an order that was way south, almost near Hastings. And it was like $4.50 when they placed the order and we happened to notice it. Cause we say after 4 o'clock, it's going to be the next business day. You know, we get to it. And we happened to have it in the office, and I'm like, I'll drive it down. I got it 43 minutes later. Beat that, Amazon.
That's amazing.
Now that's not going to happen for almost
all of us. Do not create that expectation, Colleen.
But I was sort of I was happy with myself on that one.
You're like you know, celebrity business owner. That has to be fascinating. Like, if you show up and you're like, yep, I own the place, they're like, well, thank you.
Here you go. I got time. I mean, what else am I doing nowadays?
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going through there and I got it. You know, I do have to compete with Amazon. So I need to make sure. So I make sure they're all, you know, thank you for shopping local.
Yeah.
You know, constantly over and over and over.
Right.
I think I don't mind meeting the people because, like, and one of the reasons I was able to do stuff is that I did do 20 years of Renaissance Festival.
Yes.
So I can, there's me, the business owner, and I have that persona. I can go do that.
Yes.
It's like a costume.
Exactly. I think that that's so fun. The other thing when I was asking you what we were going to talk about today, other than the fact that you are prolific in the retail industry and you know enough about all these, what do you call them? Personal toys. You know,
personal toys.
I was interested. I was surprised to learn that you also are a fan of vintage cookbooks. And that I thought was fascinating. And I wasn't like completely surprised that you said that, but I was really like, well, that's a thing. So did you have a number of like vintage cookbooks in your family? Like your mom had some and you read them one day. And so now you go look for other ones. And how did you know?
Hates cooking.
Fascinating.
Hates it. But my very first job was as the salad bar girl at an old restaurant called Benjamin's on 394.
Okay.
And then I worked my way up to line cook. This is years ago, you know.
Before you were running the family
there
business.
There were very few women, very few, pardon me. I was a girl at the time. I was 15, 16 years old.
Gotcha.
Working as a line cook. And I just really enjoyed cooking. And then, but I also like old stuff. So when I would go places, I would find, you know, I would read cookbooks for fun,
right?
Because I wanted to go through that. I find them like a novel, and then I started finding old ones at antique stores. So if it's like 19, I figure older than me, 1965 and back.
Okay.
And you get things like the Idaho method for cooking deer head.
Interesting. Okay.
Or how to basically you dig a pit, throw the deer head in, and it's the most delicious dish. That's the best part. Or a cake recipe that lists random ingredients, but no temperature, pan size.
Wow.
There's no liquid because I assume they probably think you know there's supposed to be a liquid. And I just became fascinated because I'm also a big, I'm an American studies major. So I'm a big history geek. So when I go back and I read the White House cookbook from 1880 something.
Right.
Or a 19, or a cookbook put out in 1930. It's all about what was going on at the time.
Right. So it's kind of a snapshot of what was popular during that particular time period.
And then when I read, I'm always reading with my laptop or my phone next to me because I have to like, you know, look up what a term means or what something means. Cause I'm like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'm like, raccoons have glands? And so then I have to look up like raccoon anatomy. Don't right. ask, because you have to. So there is, you know, I do in theory know how to butcher animals, even though I've never done it.
Wow. Okay. You know the mental orchestration that would be required to butcher the animal.
I've got books. And so it's I enjoy cooking. It's how I relax, because when I dive into I used to be a massive prolific reader,
right?
Biographies and history books and novels and all that stuff. But because of work, because of my age, because of the internet, because of my phone, I have attention span like this now, like almost anyone, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
A recipe is a short chunk that you can read or go through. You can put your book down and you don't go back and go, did I lose the plot on whether, you know, of what's going on? You have to reread.
Right.
And so they're stacked up all over my house because I can just grab anything and read. So I've got history, I've got ideas about flavors. And it also gave me something to like, when you go traveling, when I can travel again, you can go to antique stores anywhere in the world and search for, you know, a small book. And I've got like, not only do I have something of that time and place years ago, but I have my own souvenir of what's going on. You know, I don't need another t-shirt or a sweatshirt, right?
Right.
Who needs that? And snow globes never really did it for me. And then, you know, 20 years ago, you can't carry them on a plane anymore anyway. So,
you can
do that.
Since you're looking for vintage cookbooks, do you ever find one that maybe has like handwritten notes from the previous owner that has it, or like some like annotation from whoever had it before that they might have put something that, you know, here's what I did. Any of that in there?
But most of the ones I have, I think the ones that end up in antique stores are probably the ones from people that didn't cook very much.
Okay.
Because they're all in pretty good shape and their family didn't know what to do with them. They got through them. I have found a few, usually they're church cookbooks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you find an old one from the 20s or 30s or a ladies group or something like that.
Right.
And you'll see like a note that says this one's really good, or actually this is Aunt Ida's or something, you know, little notes like that. Or, when there was a typo, you know, that somebody went in and changed the I said, this is the same little, it was like a little V and then a little thing. I'm like, someone went through each one of these books and changed this.
Wow.
My brain, I mean, I don't like watch horror movies and suspense films and things with a lot of angst, because my brain takes a nugget of what I see and runs with it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I can do the same thing with cookbooks.
Okay.
I look at a recipe and I go back, I go, well, how is this cooked on a wood stove? When they're talking about this, I mean, I had to look up when they say things like a wine glass of this. I'm like, how big was a wine glass? You know, we're used to a wine glass now.
It's a goblet. Mine is huge.
Used to be about 4 ounces.
Right.
You know, so it's what I learned. Mm-hmm. So it scratches my history, you know, knowledge. It scratches mm-hmm. my food. I love food.
Okay.
Oh my God, do I love food. I mean, there's a reason I'm like close to 75 pounds overweight. I love me some starch. and I'm really bad at portion control. So I just
join the club.
A whole bunch of different things. Yeah. Food, mm-hmm. history. And I also think about the fact that the majority of the people that did all this were women,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really hear. I mean, you know, you go back. But when we were in high school and junior high, how many women did you learn about?
Right, there's like two.
Yeah,
they'll go two, and it's almost now things are slightly better for our kids, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's still there's no parity, you know.
So mm-hmm. I think about. I mean, almost every recipe in all of these books. All written by women.
Right.
All the notes written by women, you know, going back. And so I have to admit, I do like that. I'm not sure. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into flipping through, you know, an old cookbook.
Right.
Not in the fact you get to geek out over the fact that in like 1950s, everything had to be encased in Jell-O or aspic. You go,
You're like, I'm glad that we've changed that.
Oh.
If you had to ballpark, how many vintage cookbooks do you think you have right now in your collection?
Oh, I was looking at them because uh-huh. I have probably about 4 or 5 dozen.
Okay.
You know, and I keep looking at stuff like that. And I've been looking online. It's something that I look for when I shop, you know, but you don't actually find that many of them. And I have picked up some replica ones, and then, I mean, and they'll pick up modern ones too. I mean, last Christmas, the new Joy of Cooking came out.
Right.
And I bought that just to read.
Oh, a girlfriend of mine, she's in the same boat, you know, where she does, you know, she likes the backstories sometimes of what's required in what's going on. So she looks for those kind of ones too. Do you have a favorite? Did you have one that you're like, oh, this one, it gives me such joy that it talks about and assert, oh, there it is. Okay.
This is the Bull Cook and Authentic Historical Recipes and Practices. This one is by a guy. It's by George Leonard Herder. This was a guy that lived in southern Minnesota, I think in, was it Albert Lea?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure how I found this in California, but when I was on a trip there. Oh, he's from Waseca.
Okay.
In fact, if you go to Waseca and the historical
society little, there, register?
The museum they have there, whatever. Yeah. They have a whole display on this guy.
Really?
He had like a sort of like a Cabela's type place. And okay. But he decided that he was an expert on things. This is one of those absurd pieces of cooking. I mean, there's recipes in it, but it's also just history. And according to him, the Virgin Mary really likes spinach.
Wow.
So
okay.
This is my most absurd, absolutely absurd cookbook. Okay. And then another thing I got, Brad got me this and I dropped it and broke the spine, but it's one of the original Betty Crocker ones.
Oh.
Okay. And I broke the spine. But inside of it, they actually had someone autograph it with Betty Crocker. Someone sat probably, so wherever the general, who does Betty Crocker? General Mills, Pillsbury, whoever it is, sit around in an office
and wrote Betty Crocker.
And autograph this. And I still use the little thumbprint. I altered it, but I use the thumbprint cookie recipe in this one.
Oh, wow. That is amazing.
So I actually use the Betty Crocker old one to go through because it's a little bit more modern and then the baking's good in it.
Right.
And this George Herder one, I'm like, Brad, you got to read this. And so really, when I got to the point where he decided that the Virgin Mary loves spinach, I'm like, I mean, it's absurd.
You're like, what was going on in Waseca back then that this guy was in charge of stuff? So, well, that is fabulous. I'm so glad you shared that with me. I'm just excited.
Yeah. I grabbed a few because I'm just like, oh, this just, it just, there's one more. This is a really old one. I forgot. Oops. I'm dropping them on the ground. This is the White House cookbook. It's really beat up.
Mm-hmm.
They still have versions of it. Besides, it's only 1250. What year was it? This was at 1905.
Wow. Okay.
So there are better versions of this one out here, but I found this one for 1250 on one of my travels when I was going through there and I scooped it up. And so this is the food that they're cooking.
In the White House.
Yeah, cooking this thing. And so like I said, I'm sort of a history geek.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm going through there. And so I have to like sit at the table and carefully move the pages. You know, that's not a lounge in my bed and flip through.
No, you have to be precious with it, a little precious. Because they're basically historical documents that you are keeping precious at this point. And I know what to get you when I'm traveling. If I look for something, I'll be like, let me go check this out, and I'll hang on to it for Khalid.
I constantly search a lot because antique store E, and I'm eyeballing the books. You know?
Somewhere there's a cookbook in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite, since you said you also love to cook, what's your favorite thing that you like to make right now?
It's really simple, but I will do two things. One, there's my grandmother's meatball or gravy recipe.
Yes.
You know, meat gravy that my grandma, Italian grandmother taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived in New Jersey and I didn't quite learn enough from her.
Okay.
But I do have a basic sauce and a few things and stuff like that. And she was a busy woman. So she wasn't someone who was making homemade pasta and stuff like that.
Right.
So a couple times a year, I make up a big batch of that.
Okay.
You know, cause if I'm going to do that, it's like a couple of big pots and 4 or 5 pounds of ground beef and the sausage. And then you have the pork ribs in it and the beef ribs. And I don't bother with the brussels and different. I'm like, oh, that's too much. But and I don't put chicken in anymore because I have a friend who has a death allergy to poultry. So I don't throw any chicken in it because I don't want to kill my friends.
No, that would be unfortunate.
So I adapt, and then I don't really bake, but I will make my grandmother. My other grandmother's recipe is like a rift on. It's really close to the Toll Hall's recipe.
Okay,
but it is her chocolate chip cookies, and it. And if I really want to make them like her, I actually have to go out and buy Crisco.
Uh-huh.
Because she always made them with Crisco. And they're just, you chill it and they come up and they're not as thin and they're still a little chewy. And they, you know, when we would go visit in Dayton, Ohio, I knew exactly which drawer to open up, reach my hand in and hit the cookie jar.
Right.
So that is wonderful. I've got those, you know, those memories that I do with that. My daughter's finally getting a little more adventurous with food.
Okay.
So I can do different things. She was really good up until kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And then I think when she went to school, other kids told her what she was supposed to like and not like.
Yeah.
And I decided that as a single parent, there were just certain things I was not going to fight with. And as long as my child wasn't dying of malnutrition or sick from scurvy, she could eat whatever the hell she wanted.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now that she's 20 and she's went to school in Chicago and she's different things going out with friends, she's eating a lot more
diversity stuff
now. And I'm like, there we go. I'm like, she'll figure it out. You know, but the point is for her not to be dead.
Right.
So you're having some food.
I know, my kid, he has 8 foods in his menu right now. That's pretty much all I can get him to eat. And I just decided not to die on that hill with him right now. He's 12 and nothing about him looks malnourished. So I understand completely. Like it is, I think, as a parent trying to figure out, well, what's the important things that I'm trying to do right now? And I think that makes you a great mom that you're like, all right, I'll make sure that the rest of this stuff is taken care of, but this is not something that I'm going to badge you about. There's other stuff to deal with.
I mean, and she's like, oh, can we try this or can we do this? And now she's doing that. Although now she's 20. So legally she can have a cocktail with me.
Yes.
So the other day she's like, Mom, I saw this recipe for this drink. It's a Cantarito. I said, so she describes it to me and it's like fresh lime, orange, grapefruit juice, grapefruit soda and tequila.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, that sounds delicious. Right. Yes, we can try that. Yeah.
Well done. Did you both enjoy it? Did you like it?
Yeah, we tried. Yeah, it was really quite good.
Okay.
There's some sort of, here's the best. So there's some sort of sauce that you put around the rim and it's like chamoy or something. It's sort of a spicy sweet sauce. And then you put this chili, lime, salt, pepper around it. So it's a really good drink. But I looked at the packaging.
Yes.
And the lid says rim sauce. And with my particular job, I just looked at this and I just started laughing.
That's a whole different definition, Colleen.
And my daughter was talking to my mom. And because it's her birthday, my mom is 80 on Friday, right? So when this came in, and she's like laughing. I said, Francis, it's rim sauce. And she's looking at me. And I said, you don't know what it is? I said, okay, that's fine. And then my mom starts laughing because my mom, who's 80, has been doing this for 40 years, you know, the fantasy disc. And she actually, when she's at the office, she works in the DVD department. We still sell them.
Okay.
So there isn't any term or image that my mother has not seen. So she knew what it was. And so my mom's laughing, you know, on the FaceTime call. I'm laughing. And then I have to explain to my daughter. And she just looks at me and goes, oh, well. Because I've never hid anything from her.
Right.
You know, it's going through there. And so that's when work and cooking came together.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad it managed to come full circle.
Yeah, it did. I just looked at this thing and went, really? That's what they decided to call this?
This is work-life balance.
I know that's
in
what it is.
Right.
But
you are my favorite. I enjoy you so much, Colleen. I want everybody to go to your website, then go to myfantasygifts.com. Check it out. Don't worry. You don't have to cover your eyes or anything. You could actually like feel very free and go check it all out and be a kind human being to other human beings, even if things are not going as quickly as you would like in the retail industry. So everybody go and check out the website. Also, on behalf of Jayton, my friend from the Twin Cities Film Fest, I want to let everybody know that we do have an encore Encore series that's going to be coming up very soon. If you missed some of the great films that we had during the 2020 Twin Cities Film Fest in October, we have 12 specially hand-selected films that we're going to replay. So you can go to our website. That's TwinCitiesFilmFest.org to get that and take part in our Encore series that starts in the month of December. And should we expect a ramp-up as far as things going on in the holiday seasons for you over in the fine folks at Fantasy Gifts, Colleen?
One thing we have figured out is that we're getting new stuff in. Mm-hmm. We got a new line of lube in, but we're not sure when stuff's coming in. We've right. put in orders. Mm-hmm. But one of the things as I realized is that unlike Valentine's, Christmas is like Christmas month now.
Okay.
You know
okay.
what I mean? Mm-hmm. It used to be that from like December 10th to December 21st, it was crazy. Now it's sort of like it ramps up in December and it honestly goes all the way through January.
Okay.
Because everybody has so many, and I don't know what it's going to be like this year because it's not like people are having their big parties
right.
or their Christmas, but I do know that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving was a busy day.
Okay.
So I'm assuming people were having a very pleasant Thanksgiving weekend.
I hope so.
So I expect that to continue on because folks aren't spending, you can't go out to a restaurant.
Right.
I mean, I would love to be able to go to Martina, kind mm-hmm. of with the drinks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so delicious.
Yeah.
But it's just not really gonna happen. I mean, I've mm-hmm. seen my guy 4 times in 8 months.
Oh, okay.
2 outdoor lunches and mm-hmm. then 2 times less than 10 minutes when we met on a sidewalk to sing a happy birthday to a friend.
Right.
Because I have an elderly mother. He has a very elderly mom.
Yep.
And I have asthma, so we're right. like, do we want to be responsible for making me or, our parents, our moms sick?
Right.
So
right.
it could be 6 to 9 months before we get a vaccine. I mean,
right.
thank God they're out there.
Yeah.
Before we can see each other again. But you know what? Our relationship and our love is pandemic proof. So
right.
it's spectacular.
Congratulations. I'm glad that your relationship is still holding up. I'm glad that your business is still holding up. I remind everybody again, go to your website, myfantasygifts.com. You can also find more information about our show. We appreciate everybody listening. I hope we sound great in your earbuds. So please stay in touch with us here at Be Our Geek. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also email the show. It's beourgeekshow@gmail.com. And you can leave us a message if you want. You can just call us at 612-276-2774. Please like and subscribe to Be Our Geek wherever you find us. And Colleen, I hope that you come and you see us again, right? You'll see us again on the show, you promise?
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
Talking. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. We are going to have you on again very soon. For everybody else out there, thank you very much for listening to Be Our Geek. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, everyone is a geek about something.